So, Wally, this guy experienced a vacuum failure, which is certainly not the end of the world, but he felt that he was prepared for this option. But was he really prepared for this option?
Well, he really did not have a real robust airplane for IFR operation here. He had no official backup vacuum source. And of course, the iPad was sort of his substitute for that. But that's helpful and certainly available, but not a substitute for a full panel of instruments.
And you raised the valid point where, you know, he felt, okay, here's a good backup system. But had he ever validated that? I mean, did he know what it's like, you know, to fly with this backup system in the real situation, in the weather, shooting an approach? You know, could he possibly have trusted it? Could he possibly have been confident, as you need to be, to execute his backup plan?
Well, in this scenario, as I think in a lot of cases in general aviation today, he purchased this piece of equipment, but there's no indication that he'd been out practicing with it or using it or was aware or not aware of its limitations. And that's a pretty important part of using this stuff. It really looks good, and it looks like it's very easy to use, and it could, in the wrong conditions, lead you right down the path.
And Jeff, one of the things that, you know, concerns me is, you know, in the interest of safety, there's some wonderful tools out there right now, but might they suck us in here? I mean, and really put us in a situation we don't want to be in, and really create a dangerous situation trying to do something that may make a not so bad situation really bad.
Right. I mean, one of the things that you always want to think about is, am I making a decision here that's going to create a much worse potential situation? And backup tools are fantastic, but people think about having the backup tool. That's the easy part. Knowing the limitations of the backup tool, practicing with the backup tool, integrating its flow into what you normally do, that's the lion's share of being able to make it work for you. Like a couple quick points. He's used the Stratus before. That's excellent. But the Stratus has some limitations, even in terms of setting it up. You know, if it is put in your airplane just a few degrees off of the longitudinal center, then when it rolls, all of its roll angles are a little bit wrong. You know, a lot of AHARs, and I think the Stratus is one of them, require GPS reception. Bob and I were talking about this. And if the GPS goes out on the Stratus because a wing blocks it, will that affect the AHARs? There are all sorts of little things that may happen. And you brought up disorientation when we were thinking about this, have you got a Stratus in your lap? Now, if you've practiced with all that, you've worked with all that, then it becomes, you know, something that's really integrated into your flow. Well, you know, maybe it's something you can rely on a little bit more. Maybe if you haven't used it at all, it's not that helpful for you.
And I hope, you know, our listeners will evaluate, you know, just where they fit in the spectrum. You know, it's one thing for a wily veteran to depend on a backup system. You know, an airline pilot, you know, okay, I'm in my backup system mode, but guess what? I practiced that in the simulator last week, and I'm comfortable doing this. Versus a pilot that buys this, you know, for safety, for security, may or not have practiced it, may have never used it before, and now you don't have an instructor sitting next to you. It's you and the equipment in the weather, and when you start getting disorientation, and Bob, boy, haven't we seen this in accident after accident? How long does it take from disorientation to lead to vertigo to lead to death?
Could happen instantly. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind what the proper course of action is here. You're at 8,000 feet in the clear. Why take this airplane into instrument meteorological conditions? Why take it into the clouds? To me, that's careless and reckless operation. You've got this backup equipment, and it could serve you well if you're already in the clouds and need to extract yourself from a situation. But right now, we're perfectly capable of flying this airplane in VFR conditions, remain in VFR conditions. I think this pilot should request an amended clearance back to his departure point where it's VFR and bring the airplane down VFR. Why tempt fate here? Why push on?
Let's put ourselves in that pilot seat, though. The only reason we're making this trip is because we want to be at this graduation. Everybody in that airplane wants to be at the graduation, and we believe there are some viable ways to make that graduation. And we just have to, you know, compromise ever so little bit. It's kind of like the slippery slope. I can do this. And boy, don't we pilots like getting the job done. John, do we kind of like to go for that I can make this happen option?
Well, sure. And let me just say one thing. I totally agree with Bob that there's no way that you can justify going into IMC with this airplane. The slippery slope, though, becomes when it's not so defined. Here we are at 8,000 feet. We're 2,000 or 3,000 feet above the clouds. Sun shining, blue sky. It's pretty easy. But suppose there was an airport that was like 2,500 broken, and maybe we could get through a hole, and maybe we couldn't. You know, that's where we really start failing that test of, no, I can't do this. I got to keep going. And you could easily get suckered into doing something like that along the way. That's the slippery slope that it takes. Maybe it takes some briefing your passengers in the beginning and setting the expectation that anytime we fly in a GA airplane, it's not an airline. You know, we're not guaranteeing 100%. There's a good chance we might have to turn around. Something might happen. We might have to stop en route. You got to set that expectation.
Jeff, don't you see some means to justify? I'm not saying, you know, validate our option, but I'm saying justify. And as pilots trying to make this happen, well, you know, this is not giving up a lot. We can go here. I can land there. And I don't – it's not going to be overly challenging for me. I can do this.
Yeah, well, let me play devil's advocate here for a moment. And while he brought this up in his response, I thought it was a great bit. You know, what if there was an option to get a wings-level descent through the clouds? I mean, and let's put it up really high. Let's say bases are at 3,000 feet, tops are at 4,000-foot layer. Is there anyone at this table who would say, yeah, okay, if I could get a wings-level descent through the clouds and then be VFR below and continue to the airport, would you do it?
Without any other extenuating circumstances, no. I still can't justify it.
Anybody else?
If you were low on fuel, on fire, or something like that. But given the situation here where you've got 6 hours of fuel, you've got another 50 or 100 miles to guaranteed VFR, I just don't think there's any way you can justify that.
I think Jeff, there will be people that would certainly take that option. In this scenario, there's really no motivation because your car and your home are just a ways back, and so you really have nothing to gain by adding any risk to the flight. But in certain situations, perhaps if that was the way to make the graduation, I think a lot of people would be tempted.
Well, I would only view that as a viable option if there were not VFR behind you. You have a better option here. The question really at hand is selecting the best option. The safe and the selection should be based on what's safe here. What's the safest option that eliminates other potential issues coming up?
That's the point I made when we went through the PAVE model. You can eliminate all four of the – you can just take all the risk out of this decision by going back to your home airport.
It's a done deal in that respect.
But the pilot left home – feeling that he had this case covered. He felt that I have a backup system, and that hasn't changed. So how do we get the pilot to ask himself, do I really understand the consequences of intentionally placing this airplane in the clouds without having any strong motivation to do that, Jeff?
Well, I think, you know, one tool you might want to look at, I used to go four-wheeling with folks when I lived out in Colorado, and this is going to make sense in a second. And the guy I used to go with, we never put the vehicle into four-wheel drive until we got stuck. And his thing was, you don't use four-wheel drive to get into a situation. You use it to get it out. So one way to look at it is, would you go into the clouds if you didn't have the Stratus, right? And that takes it off the table. It sort of says, if I didn't have my backup, would I go ahead and do this? And if that's true, I would do it. Let me play devil's advocate. I'm going to take the wings level descent through the clouds because that was an option. Or I feel I've been practicing partial panel so much, I'm going to get vectored onto a localizer to Lone Star because I feel good about that. Not saying that Jeff Van West right here would do that, but let's just put that as a hypothetical situation. If I was willing to do it without the Stratus, if I felt that hot, then I feel like, okay, the Stratus isn't influencing my decision. I'm making the decision. But if I turn around and say, well, yeah, but if I didn't have the Stratus, I wouldn't do it, then I shouldn't be doing it with the Stratus. I shouldn't be doing it with the backup.
It's
situation.
A personal minimums thing, and the personal minimums don't change in route. I mean, you've decided ahead of time, you know, that I'm not going to fly in the clouds, you know, with or without this thing. And once again, in an emergency, this will help me. Is this an emergency? Let's have that discussion.
I don't think it's an emergency at this point.
Not yet. You could make it one.
You could make it an emergency.
yeah.
But I think based on where you are now, you're in VFR conditions, you have VFR options, it's not an emergency.
I was going to say, just you need to, although you do need to let ATC know regardless.
Absolutely, yes.
You need to keep them in the loop with what your plan is.
Let's talk about that then. Okay, ATC. What does ATC need to know, and what may make this utterly confusing for them so they don't have a clue what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, and how we're going to get from where we are to where we want to be? Wally, how would you approach that?
Well, we all agree that the regulations require us to report the loss of the vacuum system or the loss of the attitude indicator, because that's a required report. So we're going to report that. And then we're going to tell them what we want to do, because they're going to say, what are your intentions? They're going to continue to vector us for that approach unless we tell them we want to do something else. So I think we need to tell them that our intentions are to stay VFR on top. And once we make the decision to return to Beaumont, return to Beaumont. In my case, I think I'd probably return VFR. I know not everyone at this table agrees with that. But I would ask for flight following and explain that I'm going to go back to VFR conditions and land.
And remember, we haven't discussed it yet, but this is a vacuum system failure. We're operating with a magnetic compass without a heading indicator. So that needs to be factored into the mix as well. So it certainly seems to me that returning to the starting point VFR makes the most sense.
Yeah. And again, you need to let ATC know, and I would not lose the IFR clearance.
I would not either. I would
retain it, but I would also be very specific and say request the clearance back and say that I'm unable to enter IMC conditions and I'm going to need an altitude or a routing or whatever that's going to keep me clear of clouds as long as possible.
Absolutely. And you still have the emergency authority in your back pocket
you an altitude assignment or something. But staying in the system, I don't see any downside to it, and I see plenty of upsides.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
How long would it take the average pilot to identify the vacuum pump failure, realize that this was not a good option, and then clearly put together his or her plan for, you know, getting from here back there with these constraints and communicate that to ATC in the language that is understandable?
A lot of this work, it needs to be done pre-flight-wise, the what-ifs. We're flying single-engine airplanes. We don't have four engines and four alternators and four vacuum systems and redundancy like jets do. So I think prudent pre-flight planning is to look at your flight and analyze, what if I lose my vacuum pump on this flight? What if I lose my alternator? Since in this airplane we only have one, some have more than one. But that's if you've thought that through a little bit on pre-flight, then you don't have so much thinking to do to come to a conclusion.
But you know what your escapes are, mm-hmm. potential escapes,
yep.
yes.
Yep.
To answer your question, though, anyone who's listened to this roundtable would now be able to do that.
Another point that I think is really relevant here, partial panel training, okay? You can't convince me that people regularly go out and do this, okay? And there's two parts to this, okay? There's a part A and a part B. Partial panel. You go out there and you practice it so that when you have to, you are comfortable doing it. The other part that I will suggest is that when you go out and practice, you may realize how difficult it is where you say, I'm not ever going to put myself in that situation. And that will prevent you from making the bad call here and turning a not so bad situation into a dangerous situation. So I say the same thing about internships. Internships are great. You may decide I hate doing that job, and so the internship is still valuable because you validated to yourself that you don't want to spend the rest of your life doing that. And it applies in the cockpit as well. I don't ever want to be in a situation where I have to trust that instrument to get me safely to the ground because I don't feel good doing it.
Bob, I pointed out in the analysis that after you pass your instrument rating, there is no regulatory requirement for you to do a partial panel approach again, unless you have to take an IPC. But if you continue to maintain your six approaches in 6 months, you never have to touch a partial panel. So it is a pilot's duty to make sure they maintain proficient in that area.
Absolutely, and that brings up a good point, Wally, because for many pilots, their peak proficiency with partial panel is on their instrument practical test.
And actually, there's a really good point in that, and this comes back to asking ATC for what you want. When you're thinking about partial panel, we just toss it out there like partial panel. We talk about partial panel approaches, but that's a huge category. And I think everyone would probably agree the easiest partial panel to do in many ways is locked up on a glide slope in VFR conditions on a continuous descent and then continuing on partial panel. The most difficult partial panel to do is a lot of turns, climbs, and descents. So if we're going to practice partial panel and we're going to have a tool in our pocket, the thing that we probably need to practice most is flying a glide path or glide slope assisted descent. And if we were in this situation, let's suppose it was IFR back at our starting point. So we are going to have to pick an approach somewhere to fly. What we want from ATC then, we want to get vectored onto an ILS in the clear at 8,000 feet if we can.
And start
and
there.
And start and there get on a continuous long right. descent, because that's going to be the easiest partial panel, and that's the one we want to be most proficient on.
Right.
Rather than a lot of turns.
Get configured early and established. And
yeah, and just continue to adjust power and settings and adjust for the wind so everything's really small and subtle all the way down to the highest highest bases that we could have gotten an approach for.
And isn't it curious? This whole scenario started with you're flying your airplane, you're comfortable in the airplane, you're proficient IFR. Not so much. But, you know, when we walk out there confidently to our airplane on that day, you know, we feel real good about what we're doing. But, Wally, you really hit it with the what-ifs. And boy, we can go from up here to down there, and we've talked about how quickly things turn around in an airplane. And even with the loss of the vacuum pump, not a big problem. But we can turn it into a big problem. And recognizing how absolutely disabling vertigo disorientation is. And boy, if you don't practice that, you're doing yourself a disservice. Because when you lose control of that airplane, you know, that airplane, all bets are off. I mean, you're either going to lose control of the airplane or parts are going to start coming off that airplane. And there are hundreds of accidents to validate that that's exactly what happens.
Just because you have an iPad and a Stratus 2 doesn't mean you have to use it in every situation.
And I just want to mention something. Jeff earlier was talking about what you got to do with the suction cup on the window and make sure it's aligned with the axis of the airplane and all that stuff. And there's a reason that we call those systems uncertified. You would never be able to get the FAA to approve an operation like that in a certified panel mount AHARS.
Yep.
Instrument panel. Not yoke mount. You know, it's right. A certified
suction cup doesn't make it.
A suction cup doesn't make it. No, and I think that can actually lend a false sense of security. But when you realize all the failure modes that and weak points that system has, that's why it's an uncertified system.
And so, you know, just by way of summary here, I think, you know, choice A, choice B, choice C, you know, all have some enticement to them, some tremendous enticement to them. But everybody truly has to ask themselves, what would cause you to choose something other than going home VFR?